Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Cindy DeFerdinand.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show today. Hope you're all having a good day. We're excited for another show here, Bruce and I. How are you, Bruce?
Doing well.
Good. We're both busy, and we want to share some new thoughts and concepts with you in terms of coaching or, anybody who's starting up a new business and entering the world of being an entrepreneur. We'd like to talk a little bit today about how do you integrate these multiple streams of businesses, of revenues? How do you adjust? How do you adapt to the new paradigm shift from going from maybe one job into creating a business which requires maybe multiple businesses, multiple projects, maybe you're layering and coaching into it. So we'd like to talk about that a little bit today because we both feel it's a really interesting subject, one that we all wrestle with, especially new coaches, people that are in the student mode, training and launching new coaching practices, as well as anywhere down the stream. I think, if you've been in business for a while as a coach, even if you've been around a long time as a coach, we're always evolving, right? We're continually evolving professionally and personally, and new opportunities are coming in, right, Bruce? I mean, I know both of us are vetting new opportunities all the time, and how do we integrate that in? How do we adapt? How do we layer it in is what we'd like to chat about today. And we hope that that's a benefit to our listeners out there. So, Bruce, maybe you could share your thoughts with how that has worked for you and how you see it working in your client's life.
I know, more importantly, I remember, we had a pre-production meeting and you were talking about you had a student this last week really talking about that and really, really struggling with that. How was she going to make this fit in? And for me, I didn't have that struggle, right? I kind of sought it. I took it on. I had a day job with the Justice Department that then years prior to my retirement, I opened up a private practice and for counseling. And then as time transpired post-retirement, I added coaching onto that private practice. So that's a double stream of counseling and coaching. And I actually do another thing with that's federal prison consulting, but a lot of that is more academic and paper in nature. But yet that is still a revenue stream, and it still kind of has a fit in the flow of my life. But getting back to just a counseling coaching practice, because we've had a lot of people here on the show that were, Christian counselors or lay counselors or social workers
or therapists,
EAP people or whatever, and they kind of fit in their coaching gig into that. So I think that's a very valuable a valuable discussion, and it has methodology to it. And so I think this is something that, it seems kind of obvious, right? Because people just didn't grow up at 18 years old and say they want to become a coach and that was their core. So by its nature, coaching is always kind of an add-on or a tack-on to an existing platform before where our person was before they became a coach.
Yeah, and I think we certainly see that. And, professionally speaking, a lot of people do add it on later in their professional life or maybe in a transitional place in their life, or maybe they're retiring and this is going to be their retirement career path. But if we pull it back, the discussion to just what you were saying about social workers, therapists, counselors, a lot of people in those professions are drawn to the to the coaching modality. And a lot of them will come in and, you know, look at it and learn the skill set and maybe layer it into what they're currently doing just as additional tools. But I think more times than not, I think that what they do is separate it out where, you know, they're consulting or counseling, if you will, doing therapy, and then also adding coaching as an option for their clients when it's appropriate. So this whole thought of how do we do it? And, you know, early on in coaching, you know, for students, for new coaches, they may be adapting to this. They may be plexed about it. You know, how do I do this? Especially, you know, people that, it's not just people who have never added something in or changed courses. You know, the whole, you know, we've talked about this, the one job for your whole life is not going to be the norm moving forward. And coaching is the second largest profession growing internationally, globally, I think is going to be a big part of this paradigm shift. And I think people, even people who are the driven type A, manage a lot of stuff, have multiple streams of income, have the job, are going back to school or adding coaching, they get plexed too, because sometimes it's a time management thing, right? It's like, where's the priorities? How do I fit it in? And I think that initial adjustment period when you're learning something new and you're incorporating it in can be a struggle in terms of you just figuring out who you are moving forward, how you're going to prioritize it, and how you're going to sort of manage that timeline, you know, the 24 hours in a day. So I think sometimes people get, they struggle with it, because they're adapting to fitting it in and getting used to it and learning it and becoming better at it. Some struggle because they don't know how they're going to fit it in because the plate's already too full. And then they're going to have to, you know, sort of reshuffle, recalibrate, and prioritize. And coaching, you know, as we always say, students, any coach should have a coach, because there are times when two heads are better than one, maybe three heads are better, a group is better to help you see what's really, really important. And we talked about this earlier too, Bruce. One of my philosophies has always been, what is that one thing? It's like a DNA chip in your head that never stops. It just click, 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 click. You're always processing in that way. For me, it's always been business. It's always been whoever I meet. Okay, they say two or three things and I start visualizing their business plan. I mean, it's just my brain doesn't stop. Click, 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 click. And so people recognizing, where do you go? Where's that place you go that you would do it for free? You can't stop doing it. It's going to happen naturally, whether you want it to or not. That's a place to look at and focus on when you talk about coaching and moving forward, where you prioritize your time, because that might be the easier way in, right? As you say, get in where you fit in. You know, a lot of times people will overlook that part of themselves because they're so used to doing it that they don't realize that, boom, that might be it. That might be one of the focuses that they should really prioritize. What do you think about that, Bruce?
Yeah, it depends on where you are in your development. So if you're a new coach and you're kind of, okay, I'm getting my practice together and I'm getting my office space and my marketing materials together, and you're trying to figure out what your niche is as a young coach, then what you said, Cindy, is really good, because that click, 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 if you will help that person provide focus for what area should they, you know, like you said, get in where you fit in, or water seeks its own level, right? So I know we're working with a young lady and whatever, and it looks at first pass that she's going to be doing some really good work with adolescents and youth. The woman we had on last week, I love what she had, you know, classes on how to flourish, and it was faith-based, and she had a very good programmatic flourishing program, right, that had individual and group. I thought that was masterful, right? And so, man, that has legs. You can fit that in. It runs on a schedule and those things. I think, Cindy, for me, I'll call myself an intermediate coach. Of course, she'll be the seasoned coach, but I think I'm an intermediate guy in terms of what I do is I'll see what the opportunities are there, and then the coaching takes priority in my life in the schedule, because, you know, far and wide, one, it's the most enjoyable thing, and two, it is also the most high-paying thing that I do.
You know what? I love that you said that. Yeah. What I heard you say was enjoyable, and first, and then high-paying. And I also like that you said it takes priority in my schedule. So that's one of the things that I think we should be talking about. I think a lot of times it's people struggle with what's most important. What do I really do best? What do I really want to do? What am I enjoying the most? And what's going to make me the most money for my time, right? Sometimes what I enjoy most may not be what makes me the most money. So you have to recalibrate that. But yeah, so for you, you know, coaching is a priority. So let's just talk a little bit about your plate, your professional plate. How do you shuffle, you know, move the pieces around to make sure that that is, and you've got that down, that that's your primary focus?
Okay, so I run an old-fashioned book. I mean, it's a two-dimensional book because of the nature of a private practice. You're going to have ins and outs. Make no mistake about it, even as a coach, people are going to cancel, people are going to get sick, their cars are going to blow up or flat tire.
Just, right, right. They have to reschedule.
And so for all you techies out there that are running these Google calendars and stuff, man, I don't know, dude. Like, you'll be on your phone all day long doing ins and outs. So anyway, so I run the book, okay? And then I kind of look at, and I'm a guy, and I'm a two-dimensional, very two-dimensional person. I like to see what's ahead of me in the week. I like to see what's ahead of me in 2 weeks, right? Do I have travel coming up? Where do I have spots? Those things. And so as the calls come in, I can kind of put them into the spot.
You plug them in. You plug them in, right.
Right, right. So as the call, right. So as the calls come in, I'll plug them to the spots. Now that I've been in the business for a while, I kind of know what the coaching clients want to do and when, you know, most of the time when they want to be seen or when their calls.
Yeah, it sort of takes on a cycle, right? You know,
open. I'll have spots open for new. Yeah, I'll have spots open for new calls, and then I'll run an area with existing people, and so it's really interesting. So the book itself takes on a life of, you know, prospective calls, new calls, existing people, and then even marketing and development on the tips. You know, early in the morning, late at night, I'll still be doing. You know, press releases and those things to reinvest, if you will, back into the business to attract clients.
Right, and typically we should be spending, you know, a couple hours a day, and probably, if I had a guess, I spend more, and you probably spend more too, in terms of the admin, the marketing, the business. Acumen to keep the business momentum moving forward. So you sort of laid out how you organize your time to make sure that coaching, which you enjoy and makes you the most money, is top priority. And, you know, I think sometimes, Bruce, people will struggle with, as opportunities come in and they're vetting new opportunities and rolling them in, whether that's a part-time job or a full-time job or a new consulting project, or maybe they're teaching or speaking or writing a book or coaching in a different arena than they're typically used to. What is most important? How do they keep what they know is the key thing, key priorities? Maybe there's a couple of them at the top of the pie. So, for you, what made you, like you said, coaching is most enjoyable and I make the most money. Did you know that going in, or was it just did it just evolve? Because I think a lot of this evolves over time and we get more comfortable with it.
I'm going to give you the mixed answer. I kind of knew it going in. It didn't come to fruition like that immediately, but once I started it and began to cultivate it and really push the coaching boundaries, if you will, on the business side, then it became, you know, the black belt it's the winner, you know what I mean, all the way around. You know, because at the end of the day, I love it. Do love it, but at the end of the day, this is a business. I run a business. It's a limited liability corporation, and the business needs to try to do as best as it can, and I'm the guy in charge of that business. And so I really want to do that right for myself, but also for my family and those that I'm responsible for financially, right? So,
right. Right. So for you, you kind of knew going in. I mean, intuitively, you knew you hit sort of the jackbox, you know, like, boy, this is what I think is going to really work for me. And then you work it and you work it as a business. And over time, it's sort of, you know, the cream rises up. You know, you find at the end of the day, you're loving doing it. You hang up the phone or you leave your client and you're filled up as much as they are. And then the revenue stream is more than some of the other things, you know, than the other pieces of your business. And so it starts taking a priority. But, you know, one of the things that I sense when you talk, and I see it the same way for my business. Coaching is my priority, the marketing and building of that, because I absolutely love it. It is the accumulation of all of my professional and personal experiences all rolled up into one. It's the way I process. It's the way that DNA chip inside of me click, click, clicks. It works on all fronts for me. But I also do other things. You know, I also have consulting. There's teaching. There's other parts to me. I write. So I do juggle different projects or business parts of my business. It's all one business to me, but there's just different parts of the business. And I guess we get better at that over time. And I think people who have never had to do it before will struggle initially as they adjust and see what surfaces for them as the thing or the priorities. But I also think that as we move down the line professionally, we are continually having to adapt to this concept of integration. How are we going to manage our day? How are we going to manage the week, the 2 weeks, the month out? What's the priorities between now and the end of the year? What about next year and what's coming in? And, you know, I don't know about you, but I like to leave room for just the synchronicity of the universe where something comes in I totally didn't expect. And I'm one of those people that believes you vet out opportunities and you never know what's going to drop in. You know what I mean? Which is exciting if you're in business for yourself, right? Would you say, Bruce, do you allow room for something, right?
Man, yeah, man, the synchronicity of the universe. That sounded pretty California speaks. And man, I don't even know. I'm in Texas right now between Fort Worth and Austin. I'm synchronicity of the, anyway, I'm messing. But
hey. No, I know. But you know what? It's like you can plot, you can plan, you can organize, you can chart, you can graph, you can get coached, you know, and then all of a sudden something drops in. You wake up one morning, this is how at least I work. I mean, boom, I'm up at, wakes me up at 4 o'clock. You know what I mean? It's like, oh my God, that's a great idea. Or, you know, or you get that phone call and somebody says, hey, I could use some help in this area. And it just fits right for you. And so one of the reasons I love being an entrepreneur, having my own business, doing more than one thing can be rough sometimes juggling it all. Sometimes, you know, you run out of time in the day to juggle it all. So there can be stress involved, but I love that it's open-ended. You know what I mean? It's flexible. And so I think if you can see the magic in that unbelievable opportunity and possibility of it, and tap into that magic, then you start managing the stress. You start adapting to it. You learn to integrate better. You learn, okay, this thing I'm going to separate.
It's going to be. We're going to have to make room for that, right?
Right. This thing's going to go, and that was great. Make room for it is really, really an important concept. We should talk.
Exactly.
A little bit about that, because I say to people all the time when they have this thing they do or this job they've done forever and they hate it, but they won't let go of it. It's just like they're hanging on for dear life. And I always say, unless you let go and leave space in the universe or in your universe, your world, there's no room for something else to drop in. And that little synchronicity thing can happen, but you gotta open up some space.
Well, yeah, and you would do it, right? Hey, Cindy, if the universe, as you call it, opened up and got you all kinds of coaching cases, hey, you and I may be collaborating on a case in California here pretty soon, right? You're gonna make room for that, right? I mean, I'm assuming.
Absolutely.
Anyway, You know, so
I already told you I would.
And if I know you, but
I'm just teasing you.
I know. Yeah, for our listeners' benefit, like, so there it is. I mean, there's the priority, and then if I said, "Hey, Cindy, I got this other one, and I can't handle it because I'm in Texas. Would you care to take this other case?" And you'd be like, "Probably."
Right. Yeah, well, it's because the whole concept of co-coaching. You know, I had a couple this weekend in the class I taught, and they will be doing co-coaching together, and a really great concept. And, you know, multiple stream coaching, you know, like this, talking about multiple streaming opportunities, projects, businesses, revenue streams. It is a very important part of business coaching, as you and I both know, because we do business coaching. People do get stuck. And sometimes they get stuck on the wrong channel. You know, maybe they're on five channels, but they're stuck on one channel. And it's the other channel, number two, that really is the winner. And they're not finding enough time to focus on that. So a coach can be a huge benefit, not only to just sort of say, take it down a notch or two. Let's slow down. Let's pull it apart. You know, let's pull these compartments apart, these, you know, revenue streams apart, these channels apart, and let's take a look at each of them and see if this really is the right fit for you. Is this really going to get you where you want to go? And, you know, of course, coaching is all about what do you really, really want? And I think sometimes people don't slow down enough to really take a look at it clearly. And with a coach, you can have that aha moment where you say, you know what, I don't even know why I'm doing this, because it's not, when we look at the numbers, it's not even making me money. And, you know, quite frankly, I can't stand doing it anyway. You know, it's like putting those things together, and then you go, and then you can slide it right off the plate, right?
And exactly. And that's, you know, well, that's a whole nother kettle of fish where, you know,
I think we're losing.
Kind of give up on their coaching business.
Can you hear me, Bruce? Because I think we were having a little technical difficulty. Can you hear me?
You were talking,
Bruce, but I'm not hearing. Sure. Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't hear that last part. I think we had a little technical difficulty. But we were talking about, you know, realizing that one piece of what you do may not be the best piece to be focusing on. Maybe because the money's not there. There's too much time involved. It's not really making you joyful day to day, you know, what to let go of. That's an ongoing process. And working with a coach can help shuffle that out sometimes. What are you supposed to be working on? And what do you really want to be working on? What's really going to get you there? And I think sometimes we need more than our own head to analyze that and work through that. That's the whole point of coaching, is to get another set of eyes on it, another perspective. Continually, we've got to be juggling like that ongoing in our careers. And initially, when we start something new, there's that initial time crunch or struggle to learn, adapt, integrate it in. And for new coaches, you know, they may be shuffling different parts of their professional life, different parts of their personal life to allow and accommodate for this new wonderful career path that they are feeling fired up about. So, are you there, Bruce?
I am here.
Oh, yes. You're still there. I'm so excited. Yeah, uh-huh. I know you're in transit. Bruce is dialing right in transit, and sometimes that it's not in studio and not on the go, and sometimes the technical side drops off a little bit. Well, so I'm glad you're there.
And I want to piggyback on something. So even before the show, you know, I'm coaching a case. Somebody out there in your part of the world, Cindy, and they have some things that we're dealing with personally and everything, but there's a business aspect onto it. And even some of the things you said to me, to offer to me about the business thing, and I had to remind myself of basic coaching techniques that, hey, you know, I'm all about revenue, and my client might not be about revenue. He might be about making a social statement or making a brand or something in his area of California. You know what I mean? He might not be he may be focused on staffing, or he may be focused on something else. You know what I mean? So
I know exactly really what you mean. It's, you know, like really what's the top thing today? What's the number one? What's 1, 2, 3? And sometimes people have to work on big projects, even maybe to bring the revenue stream in later. But you're absolutely right. Coaching is all about meeting the client where they're at. It's always about the client and where they're at. And it's not about where we think they need to get or what they should be doing. It's meeting them right where they're at and setting the priorities based on what they want. They're setting the priorities. We're coaching them with our skills, getting just underneath it to provide them that space and to dig deep and find out what it is they should be doing. But it's always their aha moments, right? It's not our aha moments. So that's a good add-on there, Bruce.
Yeah, I mean, because a consultant can come in there and say, this is what you need to do. And the consultant walks away, that's not the coach, right? That's being a consultant. Our consultant to say, hey, look at this situation, tell me what you would do. But that's not coaching, right? And so coaching is, like you said, it's very interactive. What do you think you want to do? What's your priority? Let's get you to your goals. Let's get your goals met the way, you know what I mean?
Right, the way you want to get them met. I mean, because the way you would prioritize your schedule or the way I would prioritize mine or a client of ours or the person next door is going to be completely different. And what I love about coaching is it's so powerful because the magic happens with the questions. If the coach just keeps asking the questions, the client will have those moments they can't even believe it happened for them. You know, they may not even have the answers like consciously on the surface, but through coaching, it pulls it up and out, and they're able to actually see, oh my gosh, this is really what I want. This is really what I'm good at. This is really how I should piece it together. This is really what I should be spending time on. And yeah, I think the part about revenue is right. You know, we all want to make a living. We all want to pay bills, but not everybody is money motivated as a top priority. Maybe they're financially set. Maybe there's a social value they're out there coaching on. Maybe they don't have bills to pay. Maybe they're comfortable at the income level they're at. So we meet them where they're at, and we coach them from there.
Exactly. And that can be a challenge, right? Those goals, you know, and like you said, waiting for that moment or their goals may be completely different. You know, coaching a trust fund baby who has all the money in the world, well, you know, you're just coaching for this person's happiness or their emotion. You know, somebody who is more, you know, wanting the revenue.
Yeah, it's be a different person. But I think that the key is that with or without a train to catch financially, people want purpose and passion and want to make an impact in their lives and in other people's lives. And so in business, in the coaching profession, if people are layering coaching in or separating coaching or really struggling with integrating it, you know, it's all about putting the pieces of the puzzle together from a business standpoint so that you can actually go out and execute. Whether you're charging $50 a session or, you know, $1,000 a session, you know what I mean? It's really all about keeping moving forward, not giving up, getting the pieces of the puzzle, the business together so that you actually can go out and do what you are called to do. And I think people struggling with integration, it's not just in their own head, it's on paper, and it's, you know, it's not just the planning and the plotting, it's the getting enough done to where you actually can execute on it and make it happen, right? Because you could dream all day long, right? The whole point of a goal is that timeline. And so you can ideate, you can draw a business plan together morning, noon, and night, but there's also that you know, the true value of implementing it and executing on it. Can't serve anybody, can't even serve your own bank account unless you're actually doing it, right?
Right. You talk about your calling, and sometimes when people hear the word, well, what is my calling? And the answer in the traditional wisdom is one thing. My calling is to be a carpenter, a banker, a this, a that. And we're kind of challenging that, right? Maybe their calling is to do multiple things. Yeah, they may all three help people, you know, or they may help people in different ways. So it's really interesting, this whole deal about the calling. And
yeah, yeah, I think it's really interesting. Yeah, I remember we had a guest on, Victoria Burson, and she made a statement on the show, and she said she has learned to answer many calls, meaning, you know, just not pick up one line, but pick them all up. Because if you don't answer many calls, you may miss opportunities to serve, opportunities to make money, opportunities to just to show up and have that experience. And I liked when she said that, you know, she said, I've learned to answer many calls. And I think as we move from the sort of that, you know, for, you know, entrepreneurs, business people, business in business for themselves, people who have multiple businesses or are many parts of their business that they have to execute against daily, weekly, monthly, yearly. I think the integration concept really is important because we're really doing it. I know I do it on a daily basis. I'm looking at it all the time and I'm saying, okay, what needs taken care of today? What's the priority today? How do I fit this new thing in today? You know what I mean? And I'm constantly tweaking that. So for people who are moving initially from that solo job, one job, I think it can be a struggle. I think empathetically, I feel for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. And so, you know, another piece of this is to not be afraid of doing multiple things. You know, I've said on the show before, and at least once a week I'll get flack from like, oh my gosh, so you do like all that, or you do those three things? And it almost sounds like they're putting a question mark at the end of that statement, like, oh, wow. And so...
That's interesting. Maybe we better dig at that a little bit. What do you think they're inferring, Bruce, when they say...
Are you a jack of all trades and master of none? Are you some sort of a fly-by-night or whatever?
And A what?
Fly-by-night, whatever.
Oh, fly-by-night, yeah, yeah. You start getting misinterpreted that you're not... You don't have stick-to-itiveness.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, and so, exactly. Well, wait a minute. So, each one of those facets of my money-making endeavors, actually, there's a core part of that, and that, you know, I started working with people in legal trouble, and then the private practice deals with people that are in trouble, and even the coaching practice, my clients are usually in some sort of trouble. So,
or a dilemma, just a dilemma,
we'll
right?
Say, at a minimum.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So it pieces together, and I think that perception issue that you speak to, I've been there. I mean, people couldn't keep up with, you know, who I was, you know, executively or corporately and in business. And, you know, sometimes I'll find people saying, you know, that know me well, oh, I didn't know you did that, you know, because you're not talking to them about every part of the business every day. And for me, you know, I've had to, you know, obviously analyze that, decide how to, you know, who am I today, right here, right now? What am I focusing on? What's most important to me? What's the marketing message I want to put out there in the business world? And, you know, that's important to me. But the other part of it is, I think there is that perception that we're all supposed to, you know, stay on one train. And the longer you stay on one train, the more secure and safe it is. And that one train's going to ride you all the way, you know, to the golden years and, you know, to the end or, you know, something like that. But, you know, honestly, that one train doesn't always make it, right? You know, we've all been there. We've all known people that counted on that train that didn't make it to the end, right? So I've had to just sort of, and I'm sure you do the same, is take it with a grain of salt. How people view me professionally and what I choose to do professionally does not matter nearly as much as what I choose to do and how I view myself professionally. So that's kind of how have you adjusted to that? Because I believe that that's out there, that misperception, if you will.
Yeah, one of the things that has helped me, you know, like you said, there's that traditional 40-hour job, but then I noticed that some of the other, like Amazon or Starbucks, they're starting to give benefits. So they'll give health benefits and whatever to part-time employees. I thought that was really interesting to me because...
Well, there you go.
But what does that tell you systemically? Hey, wait a minute. Here's these big companies offering even benefits to part-time workers, and they sure do prefer a part-time worker sometimes over a full-time worker to avoid overtime and whatever else. So it's a better play for them to do business. Long story short, the global economy and some of our economy mechanisms are shifting, right? They're shifting into this probably multiple stream direction, right? When you look at a millennial and their lifestyle, and God knows what this Generation Z is going to look like coming up, they're going to see a kind of a splintered, if you will, or a very pragmatic work life, right? People work at home, people not working at all, people telecommuting, people working flexible schedules, people working part-time with benefits. So, right, the whole game is changing. And so, you know, we're talking about this topic and it seems kind of spooky and like, wow, that's pretty liberal sounding. Well, no. right?
Because it's happening. It's happening.
That was a clarion call. When, you know, I've been getting people jobs at Amazon here at, you know, DFW7. And there's a bid right now for 8 headquarters 2 that Frisco, Texas is going to put in a bid for that. Man, you know, that's a lot of part-time jobs with people with benefits as well. And that says something to me, man.
It says it's shifting.
What are you going to do with the other half of your life? See what I'm saying? Like, okay.
Do I see what you're saying? Like, yeah.
What are you going to do with the other 20? So, I'm going to do something else with the other 20. Probably, right? Because we got bills to pay and it seems like it's never enough or whatever. So there it is. So there is this kind of impetus toward that. So, you know, I don't really stress out about it, but I tried to look at this from 10, 20, 30,000 feet above the ground and kind of do some vision casting and forward thinking about where some of these things are. And look, how do I know this? Well, I know this because, look, folks, I mean, I've been in, you know, I got the media mentioned. I've been in Fast Company. I've been in Fortune Magazine now, Forbes, and Wall Street Journal. I mean, I've been mentioned in these magazines, and I've been actually reading these magazines that I've been mentioned in, you know, just to, as a favor to know what the hell's going on with them. But there's some interesting, you know, these interesting shifts in the economy, and coaching can be a great part of that. It can be a great part component of somebody's life. And, hey, look, if you're fortunate enough that you can book 30, 40-plus hours a week in coaching gig type of stuff, I know Cindy would do it in a heartbeat, and Bruce Cameron would do it in a heartbeat. Right, Cindy? It was paying.
That's
good.
True. But, you know, sometimes it depends on what else you're juggling, prioritizing on your business plate, too. So, you know, I think for some people that one private practice, I'm just going to do private practice and that's all I'm going to do, or I'm just going to do it part-time and I only need this certain amount of clients. There are people that just gravitate towards one linear revenue stream. That's just the way they're wired. What we're talking about is people who aren't one linear wire, or maybe they've been and they want to move into multiple streams, or they're layering in other things professionally and they're struggling and they're looking at, how do I integrate the pieces of this professional puzzle so that I'm not, you know, feeling overwhelmed by it day to day, and that, you know, where I can make it work and prioritize what's important to me, which may shift over time. So yeah, there's always going to be those people that will do one thing, but it's shifting and changing. And why we're talking about this on the show today is because we have clients, you know, I have students, we see people struggle with, how am I going to fit these things in and adapt it into a professional plate that starts making sense, that it is moving that way, that people have always done it. I mean, people, you know, the more money you needed, you know, maybe you had more children, you need more money, you know, people would do things on the side, you know, would paint houses on weekends after their 9 to 5, Monday through Friday. So it's not that people have never done this. It's that it's happening more and more and more. And there's a lot of professionalism now built around it. And we're just trying to bring it out in the open so people can get a little comfortable with it in their coaching profession.
So Cindy, so basically when we were talking, you were saying you were in a class and one of your students all of a sudden kind of got verklempt or overwhelmed about how they were going to fit in their coaching practice into their existing life. Is that what is going on?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think they realized, hey, I need coaching. I've got this going on and this going on. My plate's so full. I'm a go-getter. I'm going to make it happen. This is a priority to me. But how am I going to do it all in a, you know, in a day? You know what I mean? Like, really, how am I going to process all this? So just feeling overwhelmed in terms of not only timing in terms of how much time they have, but how to integrate it in or separate it or represent it as a piece of their professional life. So I think people struggle when something comes in new, and when coaching is a new skill, a new modality, they want to start coaching, or maybe they're going to coach in the profession they're already in. They're going to move it from, like this person particularly was talking about moving from a consulting role in her business to more coaching. How do I layer it in? Because sometimes the coaching makes more sense. It just is more, once you learn how to coach, once you get certified, once you get additional training and move your coaching profession forward, you see how powerful and how quick it works. And you want, and in a results-driven environment, which this person had happened to be in, she knew this was going to be the key to make it roll forward quicker. So it's really just, how do I integrate it in? How do I take the pieces of what's going on in my professional life and layer this in so this piece becomes a priority and more impactful? And it's a struggle initially for people when they are first starting coaching. They're learning it, they're starting a business, and they're trying to figure out how to piece it in. So I think it's early stage is probably the most difficult.
Yeah, but you know what? It's the most memorable and it's the most fun, because that's when the click, click, click is happening, right?
Yeah, the creative juices start flowing. When you turn the page or tear something out, you know, and I turn the page or tear it out. I used to say that in business all the time. It's like, you know, you go into a company, analyze everything, and you go, yeah, come on now. Let's get on with it and make it a priority, or tear it right out of the page. Turn the page or tear it out. But, you know, you can't stay stuck. And that's what people end up doing sometimes, is getting stuck in, oh my gosh, how am I going to integrate all this? And they get overwhelmed. And what I always fear is that they won't do that one thing that's really magic in their life. They're not going to push it forward because they get overwhelmed. And so that's one of the reasons we're talking about it on the show today, is to reassure people that integrating new opportunity in, a new profession in, a new job in, a new business in, is hard. It's hard. You know, it's like having a new baby, for God's sake. How long does it take to adapt to a new baby in your home? 6 months, 9 months, right? I mean, there's a timeline there. And I think people have to give themselves some breathing rooms, just like, whew, you know, kind of breathe in and out and get some support to move through to the cycle of integrating something new in. And as we move forward, as the paradigm shift changes in the job market or in the business market, I think people are going to have to come to terms with this and adapt to it and learn how to do it better and better.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, I just finished up a 6-month engagement with a business coachee, a corporate client. And I asked him, I said, what was the most valuable part of the coaching experience? And they said, man, just the fact that you were with me.
There you go.
You were by my side. Very interesting and very humbling to me. Was it the advice I gave? No. But, right?
Hopefully you weren't given any if you're coaching. I'm just kidding you.
This guy's way sharper than me. Let me tell you that right now. Anyway, yeah, there was no advice giving. There was no, you know, no pontificating, no advice giving, no directions, no anything else. But the fact that I was there with him through that journey and being there for him and present really meant a lot to him. And that's foreign. And that's foreign for a lot of men. You know what I mean? Because usually if you're doing, if guys are doing something, it's either right, you win or you lose. You know what I mean? It's pretty binary.
It's not with.
Right. And so, yeah, and the first two letters of coach is co, which means with. Just kidding. I just had that flash of brilliance there. Anyway.
That happens for you once in a while, right?
No, I'm just kidding. Thank you very much, folks. Where's my Adderall? But seriously, I don't take that. Anyway, so yeah, right? So how interesting is that? That was the most meaningful thing, and it got him through to another place, a better place. And like you said, you know, he found his own answers through the coaching process. So,
but it's also, you said it was 6 month engagement, which I like to hear, you know, because the typical mode in coaching is 90 days, but you know, some coaching engagements are 6 months to 12 months, and really that relationship that grows and that trust and that discretion and confidentiality. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. You know, people really, really appreciate that somebody's right there the whole leg of the journey in this particular area of their life. Or maybe it is personal development coaching that somebody's doing. And, you know, we focus a lot on business, but with business comes a personal life, right? I mean, it's just, I mean, hopefully people are not that one-dimensional. I call those one-dimensionals. And then I don't know where they're going to end up, but I think people need balance in their life. So we do intersect between business and personal lives. But that whole being with somebody through the journey is really, really what coaching is all about. And I'm glad to hear that your client pulled that out. You know what I mean?
I do need to make one adjustment. I was directive, because I made damn sure that we met or we called at least once a week. So I was a Nazi about that. There's some weeks he wanted to take the week off or whatever, but I may, even if it was a 10-minute call or a 15-minute check-in, you know, come hell or high water, that happened. Now, I know it's probably against the coaching regulations there, but I'm just saying. But other than that, everything else is non-directive, and even still, it's that, you know, that moment that after you touch, you go to the gym, you feel better about going to the gym. You know what I mean? But anyhow.
Well, no, I think that continuous engagement is important. It really is important. And I think that people do tend to want to, you know, even like you said, 15-minute contact. You know, some people coach for 30 minutes. The average is an hour. But certainly that, you know, continuously touching base is so important. And people do have other priorities come in. So they, you know, even the coaching sessions can be something that they want to shuffle around sometimes. But, you know, often what we need most in life and what would most benefit us is sometimes what we want to slide off the plate, right? So keeping people focused, I think, and accountable is part of coaching, you know, it's important. So anyway, so any more thoughts on this whole subject of multiple streaming and integrating different avenues of revenue and how people can adapt? Any last minute thoughts, Bruce?
Yeah, I know we got 3 minutes left. No, I think that this is something that is going to be the way of the future until a person makes a decision or has the opportunity to sustain, let's say, a full-time coaching practice or a half-time practice, and that was their goal, just to work half-time. But shy of that, I think the way our economy is shaping and market forces and the way money flows in this country for people who are not working in these larger corporate spheres, I think this is a reality for many people. I think this is something we need to embrace and kind of figure that out. And I think
get better at it.
And looking at this cultural dynamic head on for what it is, and being one of the first people on the block to really put a label to it or whatever. And I think that's gonna be a good thing for us as coaches, and it's gonna be a good thing for our clients, and spreading that part of the gospel as well as the coaching gospel.
Yeah, it's gonna be important for people, and so we want our listeners out there, you know, to know that if you're struggling with this concept of how do I fit it in and how do I layer it in and how do I integrate it in, that's really common. And the better you get at adapting to that and understanding it and pulling it apart and prioritizing, it's almost like, you know, it's just another tool. It's just like you sharpen your tools, you get better at something, you know, and over time you'll learn to adapt and you'll learn to integrate better. But it's not something that's ever going to go away as long as you are here in business as a coach.
Exactly. So with that, maybe we should wind it down with that, Cindy.
Alrighty then.
Alrighty then. Well, look, it's another great episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. Don't forget to see us on our Facebook page, Concierge Coaches Show. Also, don't forget to listen to the podcast on iTunes. Yes, we're on iTunes, and all of our shows are up there. also on the latalkradio.com Channel 2 site. Our shows are archived. You can reach me at Twitter at Cameron Coaches and at ConcierceCoach.net. Cindy, what's your contact information?
You can reach me directly, 714-943-6206. And you can reach out to me by email, wisdomfoods@AOL.com, or just my website, wisdomfoods.com. And I hope everybody has a great day.
So until next week.
Over and out. Thanks.
LA Talk to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.